the Word. I want you to turn, please, in your copy of God's Word, trust you've got the Bible with you this evening, to 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is, of course, one of, that's why it's called 2 Timothy, one of the two epistles the Apostle Paul penned to his son in the faith. One, we believe, he pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was now the young pastor taking over this work. We have, of course, many pastoral epistles. In fact, out of all the books, the 27 books of the New Testament, it is reckoned that Paul wrote some 14 of them, this being, of course, one of them. This charge that he writes to Timothy. You'll see chapter 4. In fact, the word therefore is in the middle of it. Perhaps we should read some of the previous verses as well. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God. Anytime we come across this word, therefore, we should ask ourselves a question. Dr. Douglas always told us, what is that therefore? There's a reason. In fact, we could go back a few verses, maybe to discover and determine a little bit of that reason. We must remember, of course, that the chapter and indeed the verse divisions were not found in the original. We're at it some time later for our use and for our handiness, as it were. Let me go and read from verse 14. The previous chapter, chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, says Paul to Timothy, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Then we have this classic statement in Scripture concerning itself. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Literally, as I'm sure you're well aware, God breathed. Inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore, that's what the therefore is, referring back to what we've just read. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word.
Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Look at the words that we have here. With all long suffering and doctrine. Verse 3, the warning. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. What a personal word from the master to the man starting out. Watch thou in all things. Words from the storehouse of his own experience. Endure afflictions. And of course, in many of Paul's writings, he lists and details some of the afflictions that he undergone. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Amen. We'd love to read on from this wisdom of the apostle just before he departed at the very end of his experience, the end of his ministry. Surely that's when his experience was at the fullest. I trust that the Lord himself might bless this, the reading of his own inspired word, to each of our hearts just now. Can we please stand for a moment as we still our hearts in prayer just before we consider some of these verses? Especially, can I say, verse 1 and 2. 2 especially. But let us stand, please, as we pray for a moment. Our Father, we do thank Thee this evening we're able to read Thy Word. We think of the many countries in the world, many places. Maybe we're going down to this point ourselves very soon, where they're not able to read Thy Word. They're not able to raise their voice in singing. They're forced to meet in secret and underground and in hidden places. Think even of our own forefathers, covenanting, killing times in Scotland. Of how they had to hide places away from the enemy. Yet, Lord, Thou hast afforded us this yet another opportunity to be able to read Thy Word in public, to be able to preach Thy Word, to be able to consider the work as it goes forth, even of LTBS this evening. So do help, do bless, do outpour Thy blessed Holy Spirit. It is for Thy glory alone we do pray Thee. Amen. I want us to think especially, as I've said already, of verse 1 and 2 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Rebuke or reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. You will know something of the history of Let the Bible Speak. And that is why we're here tonight. We're not here to speak of ourselves, but we're here to speak of the Lord's work in this particular sphere, and that is the work of Let the Bible Speak. Now, there's a lot of details, a lot of facts, a lot of figures in the videos. In fact, I come along tonight, I'm going to be truthful with you. I come tonight with a video that's actually dated March 2019. And I did actually text one of the top men in the LTBS committee, and I can talk about the committee in the third person because I'm not part of that committee. I'm just a deputation secretary sent round the churches in my own area to keep you up to date with what is happening. But I sent this man a text saying, by the way, the latest video that I have is dated March 2019. Is there a new one coming out soon? Because I'm quite sure the folk that I'm going to see tonight may very well have seen this video. And I think that got a ball rolling. A ball called panic. And they tried to get this video to me as quickly as possible. He sent message to somebody else. He sent message to somebody else. And about 26 minutes past 7, I got a link sent to me. Click this link and you can download the latest file. And I think it has worked. We've got it, hopefully, for your screens this evening. But if that doesn't work, the old one's there too. But there's a lot of facts and figures, no doubt. Now, I'm saying that. I'm giving a caveat because I may be wrong. It may be all have been edited out of it. But the last video, I went through it and I got a lot of the detail. And we've it all taped up. Now, this is hot off the press. I just printed this because OFM, DFM were meeting last night, and I wasn't sure if this meeting would still happen. So these things are just hot off the press. There's a lot of information concerning what we're going to tell you and show you on these three screens tonight. But you will know something of the work of Let the Bible Speak. You will know that it was the brainchild, the idea, the burden, in fact, of the late Reverend Dr. Alan Kearns. Because it was his thought, his seed thought, that later became a reality way back in 1973 on one single radio station in the Isle of Man. That's almost 48 years ago. Initially by broadcasting on that single station, but as you know, from small acorns grow mighty oaks. But it takes time. It takes time. And from those small, from those humble beginnings, many, many thousands of individuals have been and indeed are being reached right now by the gospel message as it goes out across the airwaves. And it's only the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news that Christ came and died for sinners, It is only that gospel that can change men and women and give men and women, individuals, what is really needed in this day and generation. Of course, today, we've now reached 2021. Today, as the work on the gospel outreach of LTBS continues, it is no longer simply limited to radio broadcasts. You know that already. It is now broadcast on television as well as radio. Broadcast on the internet as well, the web page and all those other means such as the LTBS quarterly magazines that you get here in the church, I'm sure. The outreach ministry just down the road there at that retail outlet, that shop near the town centre in Banbridge as well. And what positive reports we have from that. Perhaps you've heard many of them. There's people actually that have come into the shop, come in from the town, local people from other shops who have said things like, this has been, and I have the direct quote and what you'll receive on your way out tonight, a light in a dark place. That's a direct quotation taken from someone else who works in the town. A light in a dark place. Imagine towns in Northern Ireland, County Down, so close to us here, referred to as that, spiritually speaking. You see, there's darkness out there. And there's a great work been done, even through that shop. Let me tell you one thing. There's a big copy of a Bible. Now, it was in the old video. I'm not sure. I haven't seen this new video. I'm going to be sitting watching it, as you will, in a minute or two. But there's a big, giant print Bible in the front window. And every day, Mrs. Patterson, the manager of that shop, turns the page to a fresh page. And if she doesn't do that, let me tell you what happens. The men who are sweeping the streets and brushing the streets knock the window and tell her to turn the page. They're reading God's word through the window. It's not an amazing thing. It's nearly like a third world country where there is such hunger for the word of God, even in that way. And of course, even after this sad passing and home call of the founder and the visionary, the Reverend Dr. Alan Kearns, who under God got this work going, got it started, it's still forging ahead. The work of LTBS is still forging new ground. It is still being blessed by the Lord God himself in the salvation of many precious souls. I have a detail here somewhere to do with the work in Nepal. Now, there's big plans for the work in Nepal at present. But apparently there are between 100 and 150 letters coming in. Not every month, not every week even, but every day, 100 to 150 letters being received by Paul Thapa, the Reverend Paul Thapa, the moderator of the presbytery out there, and the one who is spearheading this work of LTBS in that particular region, receiving all those letters coming in, and there's a team of evangelists, a team of men ready to go out in response to those letters that are coming in. Let me tell you, folks, because of your prayers here in Dromore and in other places, because of your pennies that are coming in, the Lord is blessing in other parts of the world, such as Nepal, in a way that we would never have dreamt or could only have dreamt of in the past. The Lord is moving. The tide is out here. But I thank the Lord even in a, whenever I use that illustration of the tide, when the tide's in one place, it's out in the other. Whenever it's out in one area, one part of the world, at the other side of the world, it's in. And surely that's what's happening, even in the work of Nepal. In fact, the Reverend Paul Thapa has a burden, has a vision of his own, and that is to set up our own radio station in the Kathmandu Valley of Nepal. A population, now we've probably here about 1.9 million people in Northern Ireland. In fact, in the south of Ireland, the population is somewhere, from memory, something around 5 million people in the south of Ireland. The Kathmandu Valley, where the Reverend Paul Thapa operates, has a population very, very similar to what the south of Ireland is, about 5 million people. In fact, at present, the LTBS committee are considering the practicalities of making this vision a reality. But of course, there's cost, there's organization, there's work that needs to be done. In fact, It is reckoned that it'll take somewhere in the region of 25,000 pounds sterling to get that work off the ground, to achieve that goal, that dream. See, the work that Dr. Kearns and others started way back almost 48 years ago in that single station has grown, has blossomed, like that small acorn that I referred to earlier that grows into the mighty oak. You see, our command, our instruction today is no different from what it was way back whenever the Apostle Paul guided and helped and spoke to Timothy in this regard. Look at what it tells us there. First, who's our text? Look at this very simple command. Three words at the very start. Preach the word. That's the charge that Paul gave the young Timothy way back then. Paul was nearing the end of his ministry. Paul was the experienced man, the man that had seen things happen, that had seen the dramatic move and forward movement of the gospel. But then he was passing this charge on to the young Timothy. Tonight, as we're here thinking about let the Bible speak, this charge is no different. It is to do that very thing. You think of the very title that was chosen way back then. Let the Bible speak. Does that not tie in so well? Does it not parallel so well with the very first words of our text, verse 2? Let the Bible speak alongside these three words, the opening three words of verse 2. Preach the word. Same meaning. Let the Bible speak by preaching the word. In fact, that's what the very purpose, right from the commencement. And if we ever lose that goal, lose that sight, lose that vision, we have lost our way, even as a church. We have lost our way if we've lost that vision to allow the Bible to speak, to let the Bible speak, to preach the word as we're commanded here, as the apostle commands Timothy. And I believe this is something that's relevant for each and every one of us right now as well. Oh, but pastor, but minister, but Reverend Hannah, you know what's surely the minister's job, it's the one at the front's job to preach the word. You know, there's something here for each and every one of us to do. That's what it is, a church, a gathering to come together, to provide that mutual support, that mutual warmth, to be able to all pull together and push together. That's exactly what we're able to do. No, we've always said it, that we don't believe in a one-man ministry. So it is. We have to preach the word. We have to pull together. We have to allow the word of God free course. To set forth the living word of God, because it is only the word of God that can change the lives of countless men, women, children, young people. You think about the power of the word of God. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 comes to mind. You know the verse well. Tells us there in that verse, again Paul writing, we believe it to be Paul, the book of Hebrews, tells us in clear, unequivocal terms, for the word of God is quick and powerful. The word there means alive. Quick means alive. The word of God is quick and powerful. In fact, it means more than just alive. Quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It gets in where no one else does. No other thing, no other word, no other instrument. That's why we're to simply allow or to let the Bible speak. Through the ministry of LTBS, many have come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not just about that. It's about the edification of saints as well. Perhaps you've watched many of the, or some of the, messages as have went out on the television. Perhaps you've listened to some of the radio broadcasts. Perhaps you've read the articles in the magazine. Perhaps you've even, maybe going back a little bit, got the CDs of the services. It's not all about speaking to the lost. There's also an element there of edification for the saints as well. And that work, that ministry goes forth. We're blessed. We're encouraged. We're challenged as we read the articles in the magazine and so on. Oh, yes, there is that charge there that is for every one of us, not just the apostle, not just the one to whom he was writing, Timothy. But I believe there's a part in every that each and every one of us can play in this. And that's why we want to think about the scope of this charge. It's beyond just this young man, Timothy. It is a charge that applies at least in some degree, perhaps in some ways a lesser degree, but let me put it this way, but perhaps in some ways a different way, because let me put it this way. While I'm a minister, while I'm preaching on a regular basis in the Lord's Day and midweek meetings, there are those that you will have contact with that I'll not have contact with. There are those that you will have opportunities with, friends, neighbors, work colleagues, that you can say a word in season to. Therefore, this is really a work and a task, a responsibility that every one of us can get involved in. One of the things that I've been asked to mention is the work in the shop, especially to churches satellite in and around the Banbridge area. One of the things that is required are volunteers, those that will go in and give an hour of your time, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever time that you can afford, maybe to sort clothes out or to do this or to do that, all essential parts. Because you know what the Word of God tells us, that we're all laborers together with Him. The shop actually is a great way of evangelism. There are so many that come in there, just to give one example of the workmen as they're passing, reading whatever two leaves of scripture are visible that day. But there are many others who travel distances, some of them coming up over the border just to speak to the individuals that are there, Mrs. Patterson in particular, but whatever other volunteers might be there, they come up and they have a word with them. In fact, there's one occasion where, and I think Mrs. Patterson mentions this in the video, but certainly the last one, that there was one occasion where a lady come up and she waited for almost half an hour for the shop to empty, but she was able then to go up to speak to her, to ask her about spiritual matters. There's free literature that goes out. In fact, even now that whenever the shop was shut for about 3 months during the last lockdown, and it looks like it'll be shut again, even whenever it's locked down, there's still literature that's able to go out. There's a crowd from South Armagh, believers from South Armagh, who come up and get literature that they're able to use in their local area. There's individuals from Dublin that come up, former Roman Catholics, converted Roman Catholics, and they leave the literature that is targeted for Roman Catholics, and they leave it in the actual chapels for individuals to lift. And it's all part of allowing or letting the Bible speak for itself. In fact, one of the things that we want more than anything else for sale in the shop at nominal fees is copies of the Word of God itself. How many of us have Bibles in the house that we don't use? And many of us have Bibles that we could donate and give, but they could be used that some needy soul might be able to pick up those copies of God's Word and read. Oh yes, there is something that every one of us can do. In fact, just before I come out of the study this evening, about 7 o'clock, it just struck me. I wasn't going to read from verse chapter 3 at all, but we did. Look at verse 14. We read from verse 14, I think. It tells us there, but continue. In fact, as we read down through this, as you read down through in your Bible, highlight in your own mind the word thou as it comes down, because I think we often read verse 14 through to verse 16 or 17 here in chapter 3 with an emphasis on what Scripture is. There's other facets that we can take away from it here. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Think of the privileges that the young Timothy had growing up. He grew up in a Christian family. Think of the privileges that you and I have had. You know my upbringing, many of you here, I'm from this area. You know the upbringing that I've had. You know the upbringing that you've had, the privileges that you've had. Think of the privileges that this young man has had. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and which has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. In other words, look at the privileges, Timothy, that you personally have had, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. What are you saying to Timothy here? Because of those privileges, you personally have been blessed. So it is with us. But there are countless millions out there who haven't been able to share in those privileges that you and I have had. You think of verse 2 in that light. Look at all the privileges that you've had, Timothy. I charge thee, therefore, says Paul, in light of all these privileges, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge you, and we will be judged, in light of the privileges and the opportunities that we've had, we will be judged in the light of those circumstances. Paul says, I charge thee, therefore, in light of all these privileges, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, on that basis we're to preach the word. I have to be truthful with you. I have nothing like that in my notes, because that thought only occurred to me about 7:10 after a them printed out. But you think about that. You think about the privileges that you and I have had. You think of the privileges that you and I still have, and yet there are millions in the world. There are millions even in Great Britain, never mind going to these foreign places like Nepal. Millions within an hour's flight of here. Within 2 hours' drive of here, in fact, across the border. Millions who haven't had that privilege. Therefore, it is our responsibility. Therefore, it is our privilege to be able to bring the Word of God to them. And it's something that every one of us can have a part in. Not only with works of LTBS, but also wider than that as well. That's why we come to pray at a meeting such as this. Oh yes, this the scope of this charge is so wide, it covers every believer. It covers every child of God. It covers every one of you if you're saved tonight. I want us to think about something else as well. We're maybe going down extra avenues that I hadn't intended tonight. But I want us to think not only of the charge, but of the timing as well. You see, every one of us, every human ever born, I believe, and I've thought about this, whenever I was typing the line, every human by our own nature, we all procrastinate. What does that mean? That means put off to tomorrow what we should be doing right now. Put off to another time what we can do right now. There's no time like the present. What does it tell us here in our text? Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. But you know what? Our whole nature goes against that. Our whole nature doesn't want to do it right now. I was off yesterday. And you're cold and you're wet. We're outside. We're trying to put an exhaust onto an old 50-year-old digger. And it started getting dark and Reuben was there. I'm trying to keep him encouraged. He was off school and giving him something to do with the welder out. We're making an old exhaust that came out of my Land Cruiser about 5 years ago. We're trying to put it in this old digger to get it going. And I says, will that do us tonight? He says, no, we'll go on and we'll do it now when we're at it. If we all had the spirit, that same spirit now, because by nature we procrastinate. By nature we want to put things off. Not right? What does the Lord say? Through his servant, Paul. What does the Lord say as Paul was ministering this young man, mentoring him? Was he telling him, put it off to another day. Put it off to a more convenient season. What does the Lord tell us? He tells us that the fields are white already unto harvest. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. We're to do it right now. In fact, this thought just occurred to me this evening as well. Maybe you'll turn to it, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll take a moment because I'm right up until this evening, I've been guilty my whole ministry of preaching. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2. To the unsaved exclusively. Look at verse 1. Who's this actually addressed to? Who's the book? The 1 and 2 Corinthians addressed to. Who are all these pastoral epistles we mentioned? How 14 of the epistles are penned by Paul. They're all pastoral epistles penned to believers. Up until now, I've always applied this to the unsaved. We often say it. Behold now, look at the heart of verse 2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We use that in the application of the gospel to the unsaved. And yes, there is a place for that. But who is this written to? Look at verse 1. We then. And if that's not clear enough, look at the next clause. We then, writes Paul, as workers together with him. Surely he's writing here to the believer. He's writing to you and I and other Christians like us from 2,000 years ago in a different church, in a different place, but the same type of people as what we are. He's writing to the believer. The emphasis here, think of it this way, it's written to the Christian worker. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain, for he has said, now look at verse 2 in its context, the context that is written to the believer, I have heard thee in a time accepted. Now that's her point, the timing. Surely we should have our interest peaked now. And in the day of salvation that I have succored thee, behold now, in its context, written to the child of God, written in fact more specifically to the Christian worker, those with a burden for the work. Now is the accepted time. Now, behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything and so on. Surely there's no better time than right now to publish the sinner's friend. Surely there's no better time than right now to tell your work colleagues, to tell other individuals, to send them the link that they can tune in and watch the programs in Revelation TV, to send them a CD, to invite them out to the gospel meetings, to ask them to the open airs, the drive-ins, or whatever else is happening, to give them that book, to pray for them, to labor for the master now, for the night cometh when no man can. Is there not a challenge here for you as there is to me? I have to be truthful with you. I've never noticed those two things until tonight. I'm home from work late tonight, tired. It'd been so easy just to use an old message, but the Lord brought me to this. Maybe it's for someone in the meeting tonight. There's one other thing that I want to mention here in closing. Not only the charge, not only the timing, but also the means as well. Dr. Kearns has always said it, and also Mr. Curran has always said it, regarding the work and the ministry of Let the Bible Speak, regarding the various means that we use to put out and propagate and put forth the gospel message, that way of preaching the word, they've always said, to use every legitimate means. What does our text tell us here? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, we've thought about that. Be instant in season, out of season, we've thought about that. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. What do I see? Or what can I write over all those terms as they're given there? Simply this. That we're to use all legitimate means. We're to use all those means that are available to us. Preaching those great doctrines, to take the actual word that the apostle used there, to preach those doctrines, to teach the lost, is not the very thing that we are trying to do and Let the Bible Speak, and we've been trying to do for almost 48 years. It has not changed and it will not change. You think of the various means. It started off with a radio ministry. It started off with that little acorn. It's grew into a mighty oak. You think of the television ministry. You think of the outreach from the shop. I've told you a little bit about it. There's more information in this. You think about the magazines as they go forth, and it's not just into Christian homes, into churches that magazine goes. You think of the website as it's used. You think of the emails that are sent daily at 7 o'clock every morning. I get one, 7 o'clock to my inbox. You think of the CD ministry. You think even of the very meeting here tonight. You can tell your work colleagues, they might ask you, where were you last night? Oh, well, is that a special deputation meeting? What's that to do with? It's to do with Let the Bible Speak. In fact, here's the link. Have a look at that. I'll bring you a magazine if you want it. You can turn it into an opportunity for witness and for outreach. You see, the Lord can use every one of us in that way. I trust that these few stammering thoughts might be a blessing to at least someone here tonight. Certainly the Lord has challenged me through this verse. This is a verse that I had preached at my installation and ordination way back on Friday the 26th of February, 2016. We'll read it again, and then we'll watch the video. Where Paul writes, in relation to all the privileges that Timothy has had there, that we've had it detailed for us in chapter 3, I charge thee therefore, because of all those privileges that you've had, Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And we, each and every one of us, can have a part in that work. You pray for the work. Please do. You pray. There's a specific prayer request. I didn't want to put it on that. But you pray for one of the committee members in particular. You pray for the Reverend Dr. Lindsay Wilson. He's been bad for a long time now with COVID. I spoke to him this afternoon. In fact, this morning I spoke to him. I was working this morning and I managed to get out of work to come home for the time of prayer, the minister's prayer time, and I rang him. I spoke to him the whole time on the road. And he's so out of breath. He said, initially, a few weeks ago, he said he's out of breath when he gets out of one chair into another. And now he says he's just out of breath, sitting in the chair. You pray for Dr. Lindsay Wilson. You pray that the Lord will pick up his servant in his will and bring him in full strength again into this work. This is a work that he loves. If you ever go down to any of those recordings, and there's a bit here, there's a good bit here about the recordings. I'm not going to speak any longer about it, but there's certain key men down there, and he's one of them. We pray that every member of that team might be strengthened in the days that lie ahead. We're going to play the DVD just now, and I'm as interested to see this as you are. And we've got several of these. We've got 20. We can get more of these to print, should you require them, and use them as an opportunity to speak to others and to get them in under the sound of the precious word of God. Thank you very much.